from the holiday break. Yes, Slightly Offensive did not go away. We have more crazy things to cover. The insanity hasn't stopped, and that was a fan submission. Thank you for whoever it was that sent that. We do play your fan submissions on the show because we care about you. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and I am your top 17 host here on Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with Confetti of Color, COC. I am joined by my guest today, Nuance Bro, all the way from South Texas. Welcome to Slightly Offensive. Do you like the COC in your face? First thoughts.
Doesn't everybody?
It is. You know, it really is. Do you know who else is enjoying this recently? If you go to my screen, Savannah, everything is just gay today. Everything's homosexuality. It's state enforced. It's appreciated by few, but it is given to us. The Nutcracker is gay. And I don't know if this comes as a surprise to you.
Well, I saw that you mentioned that the Nutcracker always has nuts in his mouth, so it's kind of sus. But, I noticed they also have the new, like, trans Black Lives Matter flag in there, but I think that's kind of copyrighted. So are they paying royalties to the person who designed that flag? I don't know about that.
Well, and, too, it's kind of sad because I always heard that black people, you know, got some, you know, bigger size going on down there. But this black guy has got a skirt on and there's no bulge. So apparently the only nuts that he has are the ones that we've shoved in his mouth. I just realized that, you know, as of all things in Christmas, if anything was going to come out of the closet, it was going to be the Nutcracker.
I mean, why are you assuming he's black? He's kind of, he could be anything. You don't know.
That's true.
And he's could be like Hispanic. You know, he's got, is that a mustache? He's kind of got like a Hispanic. You put a sombrero on him, you wouldn't be able to tell.
I know. We're going to be talking about this and a lot more. We are joined, of course, also by Savannah Hernandez, who's back here, our resident producer and also the host of the Rapid Fire podcast. Don't forget to support her. But before we jump into the stories, I want to give a huge shout out to the best underwear company in America, guys. Undertak boxers, which, by the way, I want to remind you, I don't even know if I can get up. Can I get up here? Oh, oops. Yes. I'm wearing them. They're here. Yes. You see these guys? Exactly. So these are underwear that I actually wear, and they're extremely comfortable, and I trust myself with them. I don't know what's happening here. Sorry, Undertak. My whole headphones like broke. But on a sloppy intro, I can tell you what isn't getting stuck or bunched up while my cord is. That's my underwear, because they are the best, most comfortable, anti-pilling, anti-moisture boxers that you can wear with the softest material and come in a variety of cuts, which are amazing. So guys, if you're trying to get the best pair of boxers, or girls, if you want to see your man in the best pair of boxers, or maybe you're the Nutcracker and you want to see your man as well in the best pair of boxers, go to getundertak.com. Use promo code offensive20 right now to get 20% off your order with the offer code offensive20. So go to getundertak.com. Remember, these are Special Forces tested. They are an American company that loves this country, and they've also sent me a letter as well telling me they support everything that we do here on the show, and they sent me a bunch more boxers. I have so many pairs I can't even count anymore because I love them just so much. Anyway, go to getundertak.com. That's getundertak.com. Offer code offensive20. That's offensive 20 right now to get 20% off your order and find out really truly what these can do for your nuts and your junk, which is amazing stuff. And, you know, if you're lonely or whatever, at least these things are not afraid to get close to you to protect you. And again, they're so comfortable. Get them before Christmas starts. Who can say no? Nuance Bro, who can say no to a good pair of boxers? I don't think anyone would be mad.
I mean, I bought 6 pairs the other day, so you can never have too many.
That's true. So I don't know if we can go back to this. I think we were talking, so speaking of balls and nuts, I don't know if you've noticed recently, but it just seems like there is this attack on basically anything that is traditional, anything that is valuable in this country, anything that's the establishment, whether that's family values, whether that's the normal Christian values, whether it's straightness or whatever. It seems like there is nothing that is safe from the globalist American empire, that they will gayify, feminize, or just make anything cringe that they can get their hands on.
I mean, it seems like it. I don't know. Like they just push it into kids' faces. It's in kids' shows. What's the, I don't know, what do you think is the end goal around that?
I think they want us all to be the gay Nutcracker. Like, I think they all want us to look like this. Like, you know, if you go onto TikTok, there's a lot of women who, or people, I don't know if they're women, that actually already look like that. Like, I don't know if you can put it on the screen, Savannah, but it's like, it's honestly, if you go to TikTok and you look at that, that is about 60% of the people on that app already. So it's all, they've gotten the next generation. There's really nobody that's safe from these people. It's true.
Yeah, I don't understand the reasoning, unless, like, you know, there are those Marxist types that really just want to destroy the country and bring about revolution. And then, usually once those revolutions come and they have like their full communist society, they're not too kind to those types of people in like the Soviet Union, Cuba historically and things like that. But that's the only reason I can imagine, if you want to go down that sort of like conspiratorial route. But I feel like a lot of people are just going along because they think it's like the progressive, enlightened thing to do.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, what's weird though, is that they always end up looking like demons at the end of all of this. Like, we have this video here. So there's an intersex trans demon that identifies themselves as a threat, which is a new interesting thing. Because, you know, I've always thought these people are a threat to the security of our posterity and our nation. And apparently they're finally realizing two things. Did you see that they're calling themselves a threat? And did you also see they're identifying as it pronouns? So they've identified themselves as objects?
Yeah, I've seen all kinds of what they call neo-pronouns. It's those new types of pronouns. But I haven't seen the threat thing yet.
Well, just like anything neo-con, neo-pronoun, probably better off dead. Let's go ahead and let's play this video here, video number 4.
I'm just going to post this every time people ask me the same questions over and over again. My name's Farah. I am a trans woman as well as an intersex woman. My pronouns are she, her, they, them, or your grace. My eyes are tattooed. My nose is a piercing. I identify as a threat, a nightmare, and a goddess, so please bow down to me. I do not believe in God. I don't worship the devil, but yes, I am a Satanist, which means I am my own God and I worship myself. Thank you. Have a good day.
You know, I always say with these people that they always tell us things that we didn't ask to know, but they really give us more information than we asked. And I don't know if you were even tracking that video. I don't even know what to say about that. It was very weird.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of put it in the same realm of people who already like kind of overly tattooed themselves. A lot of this seems to be this, it's both attention seeking, but it's also them thinking like, I'm rebelling against society. I'm not going to follow your rules. And maybe I feel like they all had, generally speaking, more often than not, bad relationships with their families.
They were probably molested.
Something happened in childhood, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah, because it's what it is though, like this is what's so crazy, is I don't have a problem with people like this just existing. Like my friend, you know him too, you were actually just texting him, John Doyle, would probably want this person to like be like, executed or something. But like, I'm not there at the moment, but I am going to say though that, like, you know, I used to be like okay with these people just existing, but because of social media, their existence is no longer just quiet or like somehow in the background. It's become suggested to me in my daily life. And now to everybody watching this, I'll say you're welcome. You guys get to see it too. And it's like there's so many people like this that I've made a good living off of just basically roasting these people. Like this is becoming like a cancer, like a disease. And I don't actually know how we can stop it.
Yeah, I mean, we used to call them sort of alternative or deviant lifestyles, but now it seems like they're trying to push that as the norm a lot of times on the new generation. I mean, I was talking to this kid who was at like a family gathering of mine. He was in the 7th grade and he was telling me how almost all the kids in his classroom, like the females, they're all like identifying with like different types of pronouns. They're all bisexual. Like almost none of them would just identify as a sort of standard, straight, normal female.
Even the Nutcracker. The Nutcracker doesn't. Right. The Nutcracker's a homosexual. What do you think about that, Savannah? What do you think about homosexual Nutcrackers and satanic demon threats? I mean, how are you doing? How's your holiday season going?
It's a lot to deal with. And the holiday season's going good. Saw some of my cousins who have been targeted with said indoctrination. And it's really sad to see. It really is. It's confusing for the kids. They don't know what's going on. They see a gay Nutcracker. They think it's normal. It's not normal, kids. Don't do drugs. Don't tattoo your eyeballs, okay?
Yeah, but it's like, it's also too, the logic in these people, it's like, I'm a goddess, but I don't believe in God. It's like, so then what is a goddess? Like, then what does that even mean? It's like, I don't believe in Satan, but I'm a Satanist, which means I worship myself. Well, where do you think the doctrine of self-worship, what do you think that even means? Where do you think that comes from? The idea of thinking that you are a God. That's literally the story of Satan, thinking he was above God, that he had greater power, that he should be God. And so it's like, you look at these people and they're so confusing that I don't even know, like, I can't even break down their logic anymore. I can't track it. Like, am I just retarded? Is that what it is? Or like, why can't I track these people? I can't keep up with their stupidity.
No, I mean, you have to look to the philosophical principles that kind of that underlay like how they act. Like these are people who are fans of, like, I mean, if they even are aware, but generally speaking, the ideology comes from people like Foucault and Derrida, and they don't really believe in the concept of logic. Like everything, they believe in doing away with all these things. So it's their primary sort of motivator is chaos.
You think that's what they want? They just want the
chaos,
world to fall apart?
Anarchy. You know, it's like the Joker and the Batman. You know, or when Michael Caine talks about some people just want to watch the world burn. There's a lot of people like that.
So you think, but do you feel like this is just an outward display of inward trauma? Like, because you were saying bad things happened. Like, is it that they've become, their life has been so chaotic and so bad that they've had to like embrace chaos as being a good thing? Like, kind of like those people who are trying to make being fat a good thing, which it never will be, and it's disgusting. And it really is. And it's like, but it's also, that's why there's a should be shame in it, because when you're fat, you know, you're tired, you don't have as much energy, you don't feel good about yourself. And that's important, because those are ways that we were designed, feedback mechanisms, if you don't believe in God, but I believe design mechanisms, so that we stay healthy, so that we don't, you know, just like you feel hungover if you drink too much, or, you know, if you smoke, you can, you know, start coughing and you can have breathing problems. These are feedback mechanisms to tell you, hey, you got to make a lifestyle change. You got to change. And the chaos and the discomfort that we feel in chaos is not meant for us to try to spread that chaos then and try to normalize. Like, we're not supposed to normalize obesity. We're not supposed to normalize alcoholism. We're not supposed to normalize like negative feedback behavior. And that's what I feel like is with all of this body modification and these people on TikTok, is their lives are horrible. They don't feel good. They feel horrible on the inside. And instead of just being like, hey, I need to make changes, I've got to improve myself, I've got to feel better, they decide that they're going to, I don't know, embrace it and tell us that not only is it good, but we should follow in their footsteps. And I reject it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier for them to kind of bash other people and try to make other people unhappy to bring them down to their level, rather than working on themselves to improve themselves, to bring themselves up to the other people's level. So, you know, these are people who typically have pain bodies they're dealing with. You know, it's like the fat people you were talking about. Remember when, like, Adele lost all that weight or whatever, and she had all these people who were angry at her for making a choice, a lifestyle choice for her to get healthier. And they were angry at her. And it's because, you know, these are miserable people and they don't want to see other people doing better in life.
They're depressed tubbies. They're just depressed fat. Tubbies. They're just fat people. You know, there are people that have butt cracks in the front of their body. Like, people have two butts. You know what I mean? Like, we've invented words, fupa.
Well, sometimes, I don't know if you saw the photo of like the two fat chicks, one white, one black, like holding the hands on the stairs. It looked like they were simultaneously facing forwards and backwards because they had all that like fat around their knees. So you couldn't tell if they were facing forward or backwards.
It's disgusting. And you know what? Because speaking of this, is like everything has to be gay. And we have gay viewers on the show. So it's not like I'm not attacking people for being gay. I just meant like, why do we have to make everything gay? You know what I mean? Like if so, a good example of this is Santa Claus. A commercial came out. Usually, I don't know if people have seen this, but like obviously Santa Claus has Mrs. Claus, but apparently Santa Claus isn't just, you know, stocking stuffing. He's getting his stocking stuffed. Apparently he's spending time on, I don't know, whatever the North Polidar. It's like his grinder version. Apparently he's gay. Let's go ahead and let's play the commercial where we find out that kids can find out on network television that Santa Claus is a homosexual. I'm assuming this is like a gay man. He's thirsty. Pretty good proportions on the face. Looks like he got a little plastic surgery. This is for our blind viewers, by the way. Santa looks at him and is like, wow. And then, what happened? Santa disappeared. So I don't know what. So I guess this guy's just being gay, you know, being chilling, living his life, thinking about Santa Claus. I think he's thinking about having sex with Santa Claus or something. This is real. Santa comes back to his house. Me trying to figure out what's going on. So Santa's at somebody's house, and he says he really wanted to be with this gay man. So he sets the gifts down, and you know he's going to give a nice, wholesome hug to Santa Claus. You guys know. I can feel the sexual tension. Wow, this is really uncomfortable.
This is really drawn out.
Oh, no, no.
It's happening.
No, 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 no. Cut, 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 cut.
What is this a commercial for? What's the product? Is it actually a commercial or is it just like a...
Yes.
Product is indoctrination.
Yes, I don't know. I don't speak Swedish, but...
It's Norwegian.
Norwegian. Yeah. But I will say they've turned Santa Claus into a full-blown sodomite this year. And apparently Santa just has crushes on men. Maybe Santa's bisexual. Who knows?
I still don't get it. I don't know what I just watched. I don't know what the product is. I don't know why it was so long. That doesn't look like a commercial to me.
It was for like a bank or something, I believe. It was like what? Some sort of a Christmas message. I do want to say this. So obviously, you know, this is just to let you guys know. So Santa's gay. The Nutcracker's gay. We have this on the table, but I got to let you guys know something. So we know that this Christmas, we don't want your Christmas to be gay. We want your Christmas to be great and jolly, the good kind of gay, the one where you can be happy and enjoy your life, which is why we know that a lot of you guys were affected by the... specifically by the mandates that have been going on around the country and kind of around the world where you've lost your jobs, your reputations, et cetera. And so this Christmas is not going to be as jolly as you wish because you're struggling financially because of the government and your employers instilling, medical tyranny on you. So if you go to my screen, Savannah, we are starting our SOB Save Christmas Fund. Let's get a little confetti. Can we get a little confetti? Yes, it's our Save Christmas Fund, guys. We're trying to raise $10,000. In order for you guys to help as many of you as possible to give you guys $500 gifts if you've been affected by the mandates and have lost money because of this. This is totally true, and it's non-taxable, just a free donation. So, guys, if you have not lost your job and you are not hurting financially and you can give to this campaign, SOBs, I need you guys to help me to raise $10,000. By the time this airs, I will have given, I'm going to give $1,000 into the fund directly myself. If you can give $5, you can give $10. Let's try to raise $10,000 to help people, because while everyone's talking about Christmas being Santa's gay, the Nutcracker's gay, let's just actually have a good Christmas and help our people out. Those of you that watch the show. And if that's you and you've lost money and you can't celebrate Christmas and you want to be a part of this campaign, what you can do is there's an email in the description of this campaign. You can find the link to this in the description and you can apply to receive one of the donations. But of course, if you can donate, we need to raise the money in order to give it out as well. So both donate, and if you're an SOB, a regular viewer, click the link and you'll see the instructions to apply to receive one of these gifts from Slightly Offensive. I think this is pretty cool, right? Nuance Bro, people should give to this. We should help each other out.
Yeah, it seems like in keeping with the Christmas spirit. So,
yeah, some people just turn Santa Claus gay. That doesn't help anyone. This helps people.
Yeah, I mean, money is a lot more helpful than men kissing on bank commercials in Norway.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. It's free, but it's true. So, speaking, I know we were talking a lot about, there's been a lot of talk about black supremacy recently. I don't know, the Waukesha attack. Do you think that was a black supremacist attack?
It seems like, I mean, they're claiming no motive. You see car accident is like how it's described in the media, but it seems to me like there was a motive. He looks like he was driving into people.
Yeah, he also has a history of vitriol towards white people. Like, can I just say this? This is an interesting thing. Why does nobody understand? I want to go to this for a second. Like, the fact that a lot of black people really don't like white people. Like, This is not weird to understand. Like, if you go to my screen, Savannah, like, there's been a lot of these Twitter spaces where people are titling them like, "Why do white people exist? The real talk." And if you see the people that are in the Twitter space, it's mostly the POCs, the Latinx, and the blacks, and they're in there. And really, I've been joining some of these spaces. There's a few of them. There's even a white people be overstepping hashtag trending. There's a lot of hatred towards less melanated people in the world. So I don't know why. It seems like it couldn't be a possible motive that this guy just hated white people. Like,
yeah. I mean, if you look at his Facebook posts and, you know, things on social media, it seems pretty evident. I was in a few of those spaces as well.
What happened? What were they talking about?
Oh man, they had a hashtag like mayo monkeys, like, or whatever. There was a lot of, you know, talks about white genocide. But then white people started doing like their own versions back. So they're like, doing things about like, are there too many black women in public? That was a big one that kind of blew up. I was in that one. I told one of my stories on there. It was a very interesting, like, back and forth. It was like a digital Twitter race war on Twitter Spaces. And all of this, as Jack Dorsey just steps away, it was happening during all this. So he walks away for a second and everything goes to crap.
Black people are always wilding. They really are on the internet, and they get no consequences. They pay no consequences. Like, I watch this all the time. They're always wilding against white people. Like, not the Spaces is the new thing, but there's so many hashtags. If you go to Black Twitter, it is the most anti-white. Like, it's not just pro-black. It is like an anti-white venting algorithm of just complaining about white people.
Yeah, in one of these Spaces, there was like a 19-year-old anarcho-socialist telling me there was no such thing as an anti-white hate crime, and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, the FBI literally has anti-white hate crimes. Like, that's a thing. And he's like, no, it's not. The FBI doesn't have that. And it's like, we pulled it up for him, and he still refused to recognize that as being the case.
And yeah, you know, there is anti-white hatred. Like, listen to this. Let's go to, let's play video one.
First of all, live to TikTok. Let me tell you something. If you're in here, or y'all go run back and tell them, y'all ain't got to tell them that nobody else said shit but me. I'm going to say this, and you ain't got to chop shit up. I am for the white genocide. I am for the total erasure of the white race. You don't have to chop this up. Yes, I am for all of you white bitches dying like flies. I am for it. I am for it. I support it. I am for putting all you white possums in a gas chamber and letting that motherfucker ring, bitch. I am for it. So you don't have to chop shit up. I'm for it, and I'm going to stand 10 toes down behind it, bitch. Simple as that. So you got to chop shit up. You ain't got to screw the shit. Bitch, I said it, and I stand on it.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, this is what they're saying on Twitter, and they don't get shut down. They don't get any consequence. They keep their things. Imagine, I hate doing the imagine if it was reversed thing. Because
it's important to do, though.
But yeah, it's like, imagine if I went into a Twitter space and used my account to just talk about genociding, I don't know, Jews or black people or a whole nother, you know, ethnicity or race. Not only would I lose my account, I'd probably lose my job. I would lose.
Oh, not probably. You definitely would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever.
Even if it was ironic, even if I was joking about it, it wouldn't be acceptable. But black people get this black supremacy pass where they're allowed to be overtly racist. And why, though? I mean, what's, if you're trying to stamp out racism and hatred, like, how can you on a social media site be saying we're trying to, you know, stamp out misinformation and hate speech, and then a black person calls for the literal genocide of an entire race of people, the dominant race in this country, the majority, and then they get to keep their account as if not, without any consequence.
Yeah, they just get cute with definitions. So they're like, actually, you just can't be racist against white people. So they change it. It's like, well, we can be prejudiced, we can be bigoted, but we can't be racist. So they change the definition, saying, well, it requires systemic power plus prejudice, and then that's how you get real racism. It's just ridiculous. It's not serious, and they just want to justify their own bigotry by changing around definitions.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's kind of weird, too, because like, the racism from black people towards white people is very well understood and is something that I grew up with in Los Angeles, because Los Angeles is a very self-segregated region, specifically, you know. I mean, obviously, if you go into the wealthier areas, you can have a pretty good mix. But, like, literally, like, the Middle Easterns and then, like, Armenians are, you know, in the east side. Then you have, you know, the rich, well, actually, Asians and Middle Easterns and white people in the hills. But then you have the Hispanic areas, the black areas, the Jewish areas. I mean, it's very just split up naturally. And obviously there's real racial tensions, you know, specifically mostly between Asians and blacks is like the biggest issue. But nobody talks about, like, the racial issues and tensions between anybody else except for black and white people, and specifically just from white people towards black people, not realizing that racial divisions and these kinds of differences and cultural problems and clashes is something that every culture, every race experiences, not just with, you know, white people, but with each other as well. Like, there's a real complicated racial structure just in a region like Los Angeles. Nobody talks about it, and instead they just pretend like the only people out there that can be racist, that can be hateful, are white people, and that also that hate can be internalized. It may come out in microaggressions, and even if you don't realize it, you are a racist, even if you're, unless you're anti-racist, right? Unless you're woke, you're actually naturally born into racism. And I just think it's kind of bullshit. I think it's an attack on white people. I don't think it's based in any academic truth. I don't think it's based in any reality. I think it's just intentionally made to shit on white people and try to make, try to destroy our culture and our identity as a people.
Well, that's how it's portrayed in the media. They always try to portray it as the type of racism you're likely to experience in America is a white person, you know, going against a minority, right? That's how it's always portrayed in like Hollywood or the media generally. But statistically, it's more likely, you know, per capita to be a black person. I mean, there's a Rasmussen poll out. I don't know if you've ever seen this, where they asked people of different races who they think is the race with the most racists, like which race is most racist kind of. And even black people, like everyone said black people, but black people also said black people. This is a 2013 Rasmussen poll. And they did a more recent version as well. And then black people didn't choose black people, but it was still overwhelmingly black people that they chose as the most racist, because that's what you experience if you've ever, you know, I mean, that's my experience. So
me too. Savannah, yeah. Do you, well, black guys probably like you.
I feel like
you're like a kink for black men.
No, absolutely.
White
no,
men,
not.
You don't think so?
That's, I wouldn't. Imagine.
Honestly, though, I don't know. As a brown person, I mean, I guess I'm not as targeted with it, so I don't see it as
much.
Are
people racist to you? Besides me.
I don't. I honestly think that racism is a construct of one's mind. I really do. I'm not saying racism doesn't exist, but I think that if somebody looks at you the wrong way in a Starbucks, that can be construed as racism if you want it to be. And I think a lot of people in society do that.
You saw that one celebrity, what's her name? She got arrested because I think she might, I don't know if she was a tennis player or who she was, but she was like, this was a big news story the other day because she was like freaking out inside of the airport.
I think
because,
it was Azalea Banks. Who's
yeah, because she said that they were racially profiling her. So she got ratchet and got arrested.
That's
and says
what I'm
it's because
saying.
She's black.
People
and it's
do
like,
that. And they get out of hand. They act ridiculous. And then they say it's a racism thing when then the police come in and have to get involved because people start throwing things and getting crazy and screaming and threatening people. It's like, no, bro, just be civilized.
I saw this even in one of my Twitter spaces where there were two black individuals, American blacks, and then I actually brought in an African blacks. And I don't know if you know this, but black Americans and black Africans who are in America kind of beef with each other.
100%.
Yeah. And they were mad because the black African guy just told them, he was like, we're not the same. That's all he said, because, you know, obviously different cultures, different backgrounds, different experiences. It's just a true statement. And they got so mad. They were like, you're talking down on us. You do this. It's so condescending. And it's like, he didn't even say it in that way, but you take it that way. A lot of this is problem, like what Savannah was saying, problems of perception.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. But obviously, before we go any further, guys, Christmas is around the corner. And other than underwear, the other thing that you sleep with the most or you're around the most is your sheets on your bed. And you want them to be comfortable. You want them to be high quality, look good, and you want them to be able to stay together and keep their color in the wash, which is why I got to talk to you about Bull and Branch sheets. Now, I have a few sets myself. I love them. My wife loves them. I'm even buying a third for our other guest bedroom. She just, I'm telling you, they come in pretty much every neutral or safe color that would look good on a bed. Nothing, it's not tacky. That doesn't pill in the dryer. And honestly, it's just, it's kind of cool because my wife likes the bed warm. I like the bed cool. So they keep me cool, but keep her warm. It's just like a good cycle of heat and movement. And when you shop at Bull & Branch during Cyber Week, you're supporting a family-run business that crafts the highest quality, toxin-free, pure organic cotton sheets. In fact, Bull & Branch was the first fair trade certified bedding brand, and they give fair pay to every one of their farmers and factory workers, which is really cool. I told you, I like to work with good companies. Like I just do, and this is a good company. And best of all, Bull & Branch gives you a fair price, plus a 30-day risk-free trial with free shipping and returns. I don't know how you would need to try all these sheets, because once you get them, you're going to like them. That's all I can say. The Cyber Week gift your loved ones the best week or the best sleep they could have, honestly, and treat yourself with Bull & Branch. This holiday packaging Christmas is famously soft sheets, blankets, pillows, and more, with the difference that everyone can feel. Get 25% off from November 23rd through December 2nd with their best offer of the year with the promo code OFFENSIVE. So go to Bull & Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE and get 25% off Bull & Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE. Exclusions may apply. And I do want to let you guys know something. I do actually sleep on those sheets every night, and they're epic. So you should have some. Savannah, I got to get you a set.
You ever cut eye holes in them?
Cut eye hole? To be a ghost?
Or a KKK member. And
No.
What's that?
No. To be a ghost?
Yeah,
to be a ghost. People could think that you were in the Ku Klux Klan, or maybe there's a party hat under there and you're just a ghost that likes to party, but you're subtle about it.
Yeah, you could be like you know, that Chappelle character.
Clayton Bigsby?
Clayton Bigsby.
Yeah. Yeah, the black white supremacist. What a funny guy. So, you know, I like, speaking of the whites, not just white sheets, but it is interesting. Savannah, did I send this to you or did you send this to me about the name dropping of the whites?
No, I saw this yesterday and I thought it was hilarious. And I was like, you know, Elijah has to watch this. He has to react to it.
Yeah. Shout out to Libs of TikTok for sourcing some of the best combos of things. I've invited the count manager on the show multiple times, but she just isn't ready to show her face.
Oh, it's a she.
Correct.
Didn't know that.
She's not ready to show her face. I thought it was a dude forever because we talk and I just thought it was a dude. And then it turned out that dude was a female.
Yeah, I mean, usually in politics, it's going to be a dude. So it's surprising when it's a female.
Yeah, like somebody with a sense of humor that's a woman. I just like, I didn't know. I didn't know they existed.
They exist.
All right, so we got some new name drops for the whites. Let's get these name drops going. Here we go.
Okay, let's go over the list in depth. We have snow possums, snow roaches, enemies of the sun. I'm not going to go on. I'm not beginning in order, obviously. Sugarcane snatchers, chalk demons, people of no color, mayo sapiens, mayo monkeys, Greek yogurt people, melanin deficient, not so silent majority, cauliflower crustacean, microwave mayonnaise, snow termites, glue sticks, vanilla villain, sour cream citizens, sundown sister, blank Google Docs, yogurt yodelers, milk minions, ranch reindeers, white wonder bread, glue sticks, cream puff creators, coke bricks, no purpose flowers, milk cricket, chalk children, lice lieutenants.
This is pretty. Did he write
literal
this?
Literal cheesecake factories, ghost thugs, unwhipped cream cheese. Plantation Barbies, colorless cardboards, plaster poodles, blizzard maggots, evolution's biggest mistakes, cave dwellers, Christopher Columbus's sisters, or, you know, daughters, or actually probably both at that point, drywall, garlic goblins, Ku Klux Kleenex, light mode, hueless hooligans,
I like that
people
one.
With clean complexion, Parmesan parasites, walking dandruff, fecal lice, yeast beast, moon crickets, cloud colored, sun even, poison, Hellman's honeys. I like that one a lot. Rice water, Raggedy Ann dolls, and frost fiends. That one now.
Frost beans.
Okay, so before I even comment anything, my brother's so black that the filter can barely distinguish him from the background. Like, I'm not trying to talk shit, but my guy, there's a lot we could say here. Also, it sounds. It's like that was very creative. Can we just give an A for effort on the fact that was a lot of creativity? That was a lot of names.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if he actually spent that time doing something productive.
I know. That's what I was gonna say. Like, he could have done that. And there's only in my house, like, that's a lot of words for white people. We only have one word for black people in my house. So that's an interesting thing, which is black people.
Oh.
What, did you think I was gonna say something else?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you wouldn't dare.
You were smiling, but I would never say that.
So, yeah, I'm like, just going to start calling you a sour cream citizen from now on.
Dude, sour cream sexual. That's the new thing. It's the new sexuality, sour cream sexual. But I will say this, like, it is an interesting thing because it's like you look at this and you're going like, bro, yeah, in the time that you took to write that, you could have colonized a country too. Like, no one was stopping you. You have an entire continent of black people. What are you guys doing with it?
Yeah, I mean, he had to come up with the Ku Klux. It's like build a better society or Ku Klux Kleenex names. I don't know. Which one do you pick?
Well, we got the Ku Klux Kleenex names, so I guess they made their decision for them.
It is entertaining.
Well, like, this is why also, too, I guess they're not. Like, this idea about black people being racist, besides the fact that racism leads them to committing terrible crimes. Like, what is an interesting thing that I always found out is, like, because there's, like, some pretty based black people that watch the show. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole, like, dumb argument of, like, oh, not all black people. But no one's saying anything about all black people or anything like that. But it's, like, there is this weird victim mentality and this, like, vitriol towards the whites. You know, like that it's, like, this collective anger. And it's got to just be African Americans, right? Like, it's got to just, because I feel like when I meet black people from other countries, like Zuby or people that are just, like, I've been all around, like, even when we go to Australia and you meet black people. Well, there's none, but it's like. There's like few and there's Sudanese gangs
They're all immigrants.
Yeah. But I meant like, but what I'm saying, there's like other people of color or whatever. Like, they don't behave like the people in America. And there's like the black people in America, like the crime, the violence, the everything, like Is that something that can be fixed? Like, or is it just like they're going to stay angry at white people and this is just going to, we're going to keep telling them that it's our fault and never, the problem's never going to get fixed. They're never going to take responsibility for their culture and where they live. Is it like, is this a forever problem? Like, are we going to deal with this bullshit forever?
Well, I don't think it's a uniquely African-American thing to dislike the whites. I mean, first of all, I think a lot of whites who like hate themselves push it on to a lot of these minority communities, and then they kind of adopt that ideology too. And then they are like, oh yeah, yeah, white people, they did all this stuff to us. And the white people telling them like, yeah, we did this to you, we're terrible, hate us. And they're like, yeah, you're right, we need reparations, and we need to come get you, whitey.
So you think white people started the hatred of white people? You don't think black people were like a little bit angry?
Where would they get the knowledge from? Like, if they were coming from slavery and they didn't, like, who built the schools? Who, you know, developed the curriculum? It wasn't black people who did that right out of slavery.
Right. So, no. Well, yeah, you're right. So you think we taught the hatred to the black people?
I mean, it kind of goes back to everyone's like, oh, well, you know, women and the vote. It's like, well, who gave them the right to vote? Right. It was the guys. It was the dudes. You know,
why
do
we give them the right to vote? I'm not so educated on.
You're gonna have to ask suffrage. Your grandparents or great grandparents.
But like, but I meant like, was it like gay marriage where people didn't want it, but the courts just made it happen? Do you know what I'm saying?
Because like, well, no, it wasn't a court thing. There was a literal amendment put into the Constitution.
Well, that's then. This is sounding like, yeah, I don't think people were wanting this. I don't think did women really want to vote, because like did women really want to work? Did they really want all this stuff? Because they're still complaining about it. Like I summarized, someone asked me recently, they said, I'm not very political. How do you summarize like the political narrative as simple as possible? I said, gays and women complaining. And they were like, really? I was like, yeah, just gays and women crying and about stuff. That's basically what it's every conversation's about. Homosexuals and women and their rights and some cross between them.
Don't forget the minorities. You're leaving out a big one there.
Yeah, but I don't know but it's usually the women that are the ones that are the loudest in the minority conversations, I find too, like the TikTokers and then if they're men, they're gay men that are just complaining about things, like gay white men that are complaining about colonizers. And it's just like, to me, the whole idea of the women wanting to work, every woman I meet, basically minus a few, when it really comes down to it, would rather just be married to a rich man and like have housework, which by the way is a job. Like, I hate how women always look down on women, like, well, I wanted to work. It's like, dude, being a wife and a mother and stuff is a full-time job. That's not like a joke. Do you really feel empowered processing TPS reports for $46,000 a year when if we lived in a non-egalitarian society, your husband could probably make enough if we had stopped immigration that his income wouldn't even allow you to not have to work. But because of cheap labor due to immigration and the amount of people available, we all have to work shitty jobs that we don't like that are meaningless. You wanted that? Cool. Well, there you go. And then they sit and complain that their jobs are meaningless. It's like, well, you wanted it.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, you know, they might not want to admit it publicly because they've kind of like taken in this idea of like, I am woman, I am strong, I am independent. And, you know, plenty of them are too. But, you know, I've noted, like, even one that I know personally recently, I heard from, who, you know, would usually be a pretty like strong woman, I'm a career woman and stuff, like admitted like, man, just wish my husband would stay home. And, you know, and I'm sorry, I wish my husband would let me stay home and just bring home the bacon and I could like, you know, take care of things around the house. And it's kind of in one's nature to do that.
Yeah, Savannah, I think the longer you work too, you're like, I just need a handsome rich man.
No,
right?
Honestly, in my early 20s, I was very career driven, career oriented, and I wanted to make a big change. And I still feel an intense need to succeed. But now that I've gotten older, that want to succeed has now transferred over to wanting a family, wanting to have a nice house, wanting something to build, I guess. Because, yeah, careers are great and all, but I'm not a man. I don't want to have to pay my own damn bills. No. I'm done with it. I'm
also
tired of it.
Don't you just want like a big, beautiful home to just decorate? Like, don't you want to buy stuff for your house? I feel like women, they nest. Like, once they get into a home, like, I'm not like an interior designer. I'm not into this. But if you give a woman a nice place and you give her money, she'll just like, it's just a nature thing. Like, they'll just build a beautiful house.
Yeah. I mean, you ever go, their apartments are always like super ultra decorated. And then you go to a guy's house and it's just like blank wall, looks the same since you've moved in 3 years ago. And it's like, You know, like my place wouldn't look even half as decorated or decent if like my mom didn't decide to like be like, oh, you should put a carpet here. You should put a little thing in it. My sister would be like, oh, get some candles over here. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
do you want to get married?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Are you dating anyone right now?
Right now.
Were you?
Maybe.
You're talking to someone.
I've dated in the past. Sure.
How old are you?
29.
Well, you know, I think men have like a less of an expiration date on them. Like because you can kind of build an empire and then you can still marry like a younger girl or whatever. But like, I think women, as they get older, they start to freak out because they feel like, because their fertility window is closing. And that's that fear, like kind of like the feedback mechanism from being fat is like women ultimately won't, like they're made to produce children. And so then as the fertility window closes, I think there's a little bit of fear, but like, I think, what is it, 35 is like when it's kind of shuts down?
Something like that. I mean, you know, it's kind of a crass way to say it, but they say men age like fine wine and, you know, women age like milk. So
it's true.
It's kind of
true. Every single man that I know that's in their early 30s now, if you look at them from their 20s to their 30s, they look more refined. They have more wisdom. They're farther ahead in their career field. You look at a woman from her 20s to her 30s in the exact same position. It's like, great, you're a career woman who has wrinkles now.
Yeah. lack for better words.
Yeah.
That's why I was so happy that I was born a man and not a woman. Like, there's many reasons, but one of them were like, looks are so important for women. And like, as a man though, like you can just go work out and like make money and then girls find, like you can go get status because like, girls value different things. And so you can become attractive through exterior things in your life, right? Which is always the joke of the model with the fat billionaire, right? Because he's rich and women want that, you know, that provider. But it's like for women, they got it tough because it's like the whole society is made to make them delay getting married and to try to like tell them they need to go to college and that they need to have a career. And then by the time they wake up to the lies of the culture, like again, it's like they're 28, 29, 30 or later. And they realize that like they probably would have been happier just getting married at like 19 or 20 and to like a 27, 28 year old guy. I think that's a really good thing. Like an age gap too. I think like younger girls marrying older men, like I think it's a great thing. Like I think she's younger, more fertile. The guy's probably more established, can provide better. And there's that sort of like, he's probably wiser, not so foolish. And then he can kind of protect her, look out for her, has that on his shoulders. I feel like that's what it more should have been. And now it's like, not only are the women not prepared to get married and their fertility window's closing, but because of how stupid the structure is, men are unable to provide. Like, I don't own a home. Do you own a home?
I do, actually.
Do you? Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then you can get married. That's my point. So you're 29, you own a home, and you can go get married. Like, and that's the point. But if you're not going to own a home, probably, did you own a home when you were like 21?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all I was saying is I don't know if guys getting married young is the best, but girls definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for a lot of them because we keep pushing like the norm age of being married later and later in life. And, you know, that fertility window is pretty short and, you know, it's getting harder and harder to date for both sexes, like women and men. And, you know, it takes time to, you know, you date someone, then it takes time to get married and maybe that doesn't work out. And then you have to go and start that whole process all over again. And by the time you know it, you're like a woman, you're 35, you're 40 and you don't have somebody and your child rearing days are over. Pretty sad.
Yeah. Santa Claus is getting weird apparently now. Interesting story. Santa Claus is a homosexual. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. And that's also a reminder. I just want to bring that up to make sure that you donate to the campaign so we can fight their definition of Christmas. Please donate to the campaign, thegiftsendgo.com/offensive. Please donate. We need to raise that $10,000. So that'll be really awesome. And we're going to really try to raise that money. So this is going to be really good. But I think you also, we were talking about, I think we got sidetracked, but we were talking about Black people. So with between disparaging women, talking about racial issues, like I don't even know how the show gets advertisers. Like, do you know how the show actually gives advertisers? Because actually we I don't know what it is, but like we really, the audience is so good and we really make the advertisers happy. So I think they just turn a blind eye because they're just like, they had a really good return on their investment on the show. Like It's phenomenal. We've sold out the show for like another year. Like every, like they want us to expand the show and everything. We can't, we have no more spots left in the show. So I'm saying like, I think it's just a good return on investment because the audience is epic and the audience knows that we're demonetized and supports our advertisers. But ultimately speaking, like right after we sold Sheets, you're like, do you cut holes in them? And it's like,
yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble. You can cut that out if you want advertisers.
No, it's okay.
That's just how our show goes.
That's just how it goes. But that's what I was going to say is I just want people to support each other and support the SOBs. But we were getting back into the black people thing. I think you were in a Twitter space. You actually uploaded this yourself where someone said, bye bye, cracker, or something. Mm. Let's listen to the more non racism from our very lovely blacks.
Yo, this is
bye bye, cracker.
Hey, yo. Hey, love to all y'all. Love to Jay. Love to Kimani. Love to Firestar for actually letting me up here. Tyler, I fuck with you. Lou, I fuck with you. Granny, I fuck with you. Any other follower, all my black people, I fuck with you. If you a cracker, bro, you ain't know how I feel about you.
You a cracker, bro.
And y'all was enticing in that space and entitling Church. That.
Well, there you on the bottom.
Y'all might want to turn off.
And I'm doing the black fist, too. You see that?
It's going to go up.
Man. Crackers are tell them crackers I got time today.
That was the most tame of it, too. It got a lot worse in those spaces.
Well, what did they say? What were some of the other things they said?
Well, here's the funny thing, because when they were talking about the cracker thing, so there was like a white, out of all those black people who were speakers, there was one white girl, and they're like, who let this girl up? And they're like, oh, she gone. But like, didn't even say anything. And then later on, they go on to say, oh, when we say cracker, by the way, we're not talking about all white people, just the ones who are against us. It's like, well, you just said it to that random girl who you never even spoke to that you just kicked out and called cracker. So they're really full of crap, and they are probably like super racist people. But yeah, they, you know.
Is racism bad? Like, is it bad for them to hate white people? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, is it, because like, if they don't like white people, like, if there's a reason and they're just like, hey, you know what? I find that white people are like this and that's not how I want to live my life. I don't like that. And I don't, you know, I don't love epic Western civilization and public decency and things like that. And I want to live in a chaotic neighborhood and do these kinds of things. So get the hell out, cracker. Is that wrong? And then if I'm just like, all right, then you just go live over there and do what you do and I'll live over here. Like, is that like morally wrong for someone to just be like, I see the difference between races and I don't like those people? Like, is that a bad thing?
So making choices and having preferences is not like necessarily a bad thing, but I guess you have to define what you consider racism. So I think if you say like, well, I'm going to view, you know, this race with a broad brush and consider every person from this group to be bad or have these certain characteristics, that's obviously not true. There's a lot of individual variation within a race. There might be propensities, there might be patterns, but that doesn't mean everybody's a certain way. So you want to treat people according to their individual character. So I guess that's where it comes down to like what you view racism as.
Yeah, because I think people, that's what I think people think it means, but modern racism is just like literally all racism means now is white people having any sort of negative view of any other race or even existing. So like racism is my existence is racism, right? That is what it is. That it's like, did you see that one chick? Did you see that one woman who was at that woke seminar from Myth Informed? And she was trying to be woke. And she was like, yeah, like I've learned a lot about how my whiteness, about how my whiteness affects the workplace. For instance, I'm used to a orderly, quiet workplace. And that's because I'm white. But I realize that with people of color, like it's just a lot louder. And you're like,
yeah, didn't they put in the like Museum of Black History in Washington, D.C. that being successful in the workplace can be equated to whiteness? They do that often. They say, oh, if you're successful, if you're not.
That was the Smithsonian, by the way.
They do that a lot. And I'm like, hey, that's actually racist. Thanks a lot for that, everybody.
But what if that's race realism? Like maybe they're right. Like this was gonna say, it's like what if she's right? Like what if the majority?
I don't think that's right because you have trailer trash white people.
No, that's not what I said. Like, but the majority, the dominant culture, like maybe they're like this is what I was saying is funny is like as they try to fight racism, they actually point out why people don't like each other. Like it's like, hey, white people have a way they like to do things, and it's not the way that black people do things normally, and that's why white people need to stop acting like white people. And also, I'm going to say there's no way people act, but at the same time, I'm admitting that there's an entire white culture and there's a way that white people act, but while also saying there's no such thing as whiteness or white culture, and there's, we're all one culture. It's like they basically just admit all of the things that they say aren't true or aren't real. And it's like, and it's actually kind of funny because I go, well, white people, there's no difference between everyone. We can all get along. And then they go to list the differences at the Smithsonian on how the cultures are different. And yes, there are, of course, there's trailer trash. Look at some of the, I don't know if you've seen some of the inbreeding videos on YouTube. It's pretty crazy. But there's a lot of weird people of all races. But like they come out and just say that here's what white culture is, and then they list like epicness. And I'm like, well, what's what I want? Like,
well, I mean, it's funny because it really goes back to that Ryan Long skit of like the woke guy and the racist guy saying pretty much the exact same things, but I guess they have different motivations for it. So a racist guy could say, black people are too loud and I don't like that. And then the woke person says, black people are too loud. And maybe that's because I'm white and I like orderly spaces, but they're both kind of like the substance is the same, but I guess their conclusions are a little different.
Yeah, no, it is a weird thing. And obviously in going to that, the world is crazy. You can find yourself in neighborhoods and you don't know what to do because the Second Amendment is not just about owning guns. It's also about owning body armor. Believe it or not, you don't just have to shoot people. Sometimes you get shot at. I've been shot at least once. I've been around gunfire multiple times. It does happen, and not just on the field in my job. Like, I've lived in LA. I've seen a drive-by. And so, obviously, you never know what's going to happen in the world, which is why you got to get yourself body armor. Now, if you don't understand anything about it or you're an expert, it doesn't matter because AR500armor.com/offensive is a place where you can either start to build your kit and what you want, or you can add to your collection. Now, to tell you kind of what this is, for around $100, you can literally get the body armor that can actually save your life. This is body armor that I wear personally, regularly. I just wore it in Chicago the other week. Savannah has their armor. They have concealable Kevlar. They have different levels of thickness of plates depending on your weight. They have, you know, different types of carriers, and you're going, I don't know any of these words. What the heck? Look, it's so easy. They make this website. If you go to AR500ARMOR.com/offensive right now, you can view all the promotions and Black Friday sales that are running at this moment. Use the code offensive for 25% off anything else in their entire store. This is the best time to prepare yourself. And AR500 Armor is having their best sale of the year. Plan right now for how to protect yourself and your family for the future. Get yourself the body armor that we trust from AR500armor.com/offensive right now to get 25% off the entire store. Get your armor now before it's too late. You never know what's going to happen. It's true. It's actually great armor. Didn't you have this armor?
I've had, like, I don't know if it was like from this specific company, but like AR500 type armor is a very specific type of armor. And I had some, and then my mom, I think, threw it away. But
well, that's not good. You should probably find that. I was gonna say, like, this is a video here as well. Like, things are getting crazy. We're talking about, you know, the degradation of society and how, like, I'm just trying to, I'm having an open conversation. Like, we like this show, we like to talk about, you know, the differences in sex and race and try to understand things and be honest about it, because everyone has a bias and we just want to laugh at the world as it burns. But I think there's this video that actually shows how crazy the world is, where it's looters looting other looters. Did I get that right, Savannah? Is that how it's pronounced? Looters looting other looters.
Yes.
Let's watch this. Okay.
Yeah, that, I know where that is, actually. That's in Walnut Creek. I was just there for Thanksgiving.
What city is this in?
It's Walnut Creek. It's the East Bay of San Francisco.
Okay. This is looters looting.
Yeah, this happened last year during George Floyd protests.
So this video was just a reminder of like how weird the world is, where looters are looting each other. Now, I did see a lot of this up close of looters looting each other. I always tell people this: when I was in Philadelphia, they shot a guy shot a girl in the stomach to get her loot from, like, just like shot a chick.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh dang.
This is the same town, by the way, where they did that. The 80 people went into the Nordstrom's and looted it.
Oh, that's this place?
Yeah. This is the same town.
Seems safe.
It is actually a very safe neighborhood. Like, this is a,
I can tell.
No, I'm serious. This is a, this town is like less than 2% of the population's black. Like, these are all people from Oakland or different towns. Like, they come into Walnut Creek because it's an upscale neighborhood and they loot.
Yeah. People don't realize that. I live in a very good part of North Texas. It's like, would say it's just a very good area, and yet we still had, like, in an armed or like in a protected car garage, like 8 cars broken into, because they said, well, like, people go into the nicer neighborhoods to literally to burglarize.
You had
to,
your catalytic converter cut out or whatever.
That was in front of the office here while I was working. while I was trying to show people transgenders like pooping on each other or something, I don't know what I was showing that day, they stole my catalytic converter. Maybe it was God trying to warn me. I don't know.
Maybe.
No, but they actually broke into a bunch of the cars, and luckily, I think they must have been smart thieves because my car has like all the GPS stuff where it can track the car, and it's got kind of like that warning light that lets you know, don't break into this car. And it also has cameras all around it, so if you break the glass, it'll film you for like, you know, into a hard drive. So I think they knew what they were doing because the cars they attacked, like they literally skipped the cars that had that were newer, that had clear like monitoring systems. And these people, they said, yeah, they're just like career robbers. They just go into these neighborhoods, case the place, leave, and they do whatever damage they can. And it's just, it's like, it's frustrating to me with the increase in crime and what's going on in the world. It feels like there's nothing that we can really do to stop it besides carry a gun. And if the threat comes to you, try to neutralize it first.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if you guys allowed people to carry guns in the studio.
I don't, well, we don't really have,
there's a freaking sign on outside.
I carry a gun with me everywhere. Usually.
Well, yeah, you're the host of the show. So
I doesn't even, I, no one's telling you, you can't carry a gun.
I mean, it's literally on the outside.
I feel like signs are
building.
Very subjective though. Yeah. You can kind of,
but why not put a sign on the building that says, hey, Second Amendment, we respect it. Welcome.
I don't own the building.
I don't, but your boss does.
No, my boss doesn't own the building.
Well, he controls like what goes on.
Who do you think's my boss?
Glenn Beck or that CEO guy?
No, Glenn Beck's not my boss. There's a board of people here.
If he wanted to make it done, he could, right?
I've never been told that I can't have a firearm in this building.
Okay.
I've never like, don't have an email. No one's been like, hey man, you can't carry a gun. So I don't know.
It's on the.
We bring it. We have guns. We have guns on the show. Isn't that right, Savannah?
I've seen it. I've seen it before.
Yeah, but they're prop guns. We always say that just to let us.
Sure.
They're prop. We always tell YouTube that they're prop guns because YouTube doesn't like firearms, so they're not real. But they're, because obviously we know with Alec Baldwin, like you can literally, as long as you say it's a prop gun, even if you can kill people, it's still just a prop gun. So you can just ignore ignore laws and rules.
I mean, prop guns are real guns. Yeah. A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. But obviously in the middle of all this and the insanity that's going on, if people want to follow you, Nuance Bro, where's the best places that they can find you and your videos and follow your madness?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's at Nuance Bro. Same on Instagram, YouTube. You just look up Nuance Bro. You'll find my channel. All that stuff.
Yeah, and actually go follow him and support him. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review. If you make it this far in the podcast, it means you like the podcast, probably. And like I say, if you make it this far in the podcast and you're a hate watcher, you need to figure your life out. This is a waste of your time. Go do something, you know? I don't know. Go go put your nuts in a nutcracker or something like that. They apparently like it now. Leave that 5-star review because it's free. It literally costs you nothing. If you've been holding out, don't hold out. Actually leave the review because it's what advertisers use to find the show and see that we have feedback on the audio. Let's read a couple of those right now. We got a review from GMen1027 that said, proud to be an SOB. The MTG episode was great. Thank you for being uncensored and just flat out raw at times in this time of political correctness. My wife and I watch this show, and yeah, every time it's on, you have also answered my super chats when I submit them to YouTube. Cool. I haven't seen any other podcast content maker do that. It honestly makes me feel you support the people who support this movement. Thank you for everything you do. P.S. I'm going to start watching Savannah's show too. Oh, cool. She's just flat out awesome. America, America, America. We have another one from Shears 1234 that said, episode 207. I am a well put together Southern Baptist woman, so let me be very clear. I absolutely love Slightly Offensive. I sent you a message on Instagram explaining some of this further. Lol, but I had never heard of you until you did your interview with Ali Beth, and I immediately followed you on everything and started listening to the show. Truly appreciate your honesty and completely relate to your rage. Did I think I would ever be full of rage while wearing pearls and curls and a pretty dress and smile? No, I didn't. But now after listening to your show, I am now bearing arms and prepping. Good for you. You should see some of these people.
There's, it's spelled bearing arms incorrectly. Barring arms. It's like getting rid of them. Banning them.
We don't have an IQ requirement for this show. We just love our people. We're all a little bit retarded here at Slightly Offensive. And as we promise at the end of the show, we will always read you one new word from our drag queen dictionary. Today's word of the day is slay. It says she just murdered the children, but the kids are all right. In drag lingo, the term slay has a different definition. Shouting slay out loud is like praising a queen for her performance or sickening look. Slaying on stage simply means delivering an amazing show. Look at her strut. She is slaying the runway. All eyes are on her. And of course, our drag queen is fat and black and sassy. Slay. Did you know that? Did you know that word already?
Oh, everyone knows slay. Slay queen slay.
Dude, this brings a whole new thing. We got gay Santa and now his slay. Santa's slaying is not what you think it is, ladies and gentlemen. Santa is wearing a sickening outfit. This is really good. I'm very excited about this. Anyway, I do want to let you guys know as we end this that we do have merch out. 20% off Offensive 20. You can get merch, support the show. That money does go directly towards me, by the way. So if you wanted me to have more money, then go buy merch and rep the brand at Blaze Shop. And also make sure that you support Savannah, send her some super chats, sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah, all this stuff, become an SOB. There's too many plugs in the show this episode, so I can't keep doing this. I'm sorry, guys. But again, support Nuance Bro, and thank you guys so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with Confetti of Color. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.